Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the overwhelming peace that only God can give? Hallelujah. For the moments to just lay back against Him and breathe. Hallelujah. To feel the very heartbeat of God and to know that that heartbeat is for you. Hallelujah. That His heart is for you. Hallelujah. That the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Hallelujah. That He's the lily in our valley. He's our strength. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our deliverer. Everything that we need today is in Him. Do you have need today? Do you have need of anything in your life? It's in Him. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. In Christ, everything that we need, everything that we can be, everything that we desire is in Him and in the will of the Father. Hallelujah. He in us, we in Him. Hallelujah. I want to take a moment to welcome Pastor Terry and Josephine Cannon with us this morning from Elkins, West Virginia. Always an honor to have them in the house. Always an honor to call them friend and to call them family. So it is just a very nice surprise to see them here this morning and to have them in fellowship with us. You guys want to stand and greet the people? Tell us what's happening in Elkins, West Virginia.
Glory. Good to see everyone. I honor the house. And I was thinking, I see Jack up for a second.
Yeah.
But you know, he's never left.
Nope.
Lynn said something to me one time. I lost my son. He said, "Terry, where's Jesus live?" I said, "In my heart." He said, "Where are you down when you go to heaven?" "Be with the Lord." I said, "So He's in your heart." So look around here.
Yep.
Come on.
He's in every heart.
Come on,
yes,
brother.
Yes.
He'll never, ever leave this place.
Amen, amen, amen.
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 Never.
Amen.
Just wonderful to be here. Thank God for the family.
Amen. Amen. Always an honor to have them in the house.
Yes.
I will mention we do still have T-shirts for sale. I don't know if everybody has that opportunity to get their T-shirts that the youth group sponsored and made in honor of Dad. And that is with his testimony on front that said, 7 words that changed the world. If you save me, I'll serve you. And so those T-shirts are available. I think they're $15, and we have those here. So if you want a T-shirt or you haven't had opportunity to get a T-shirt, we do have those T-shirts available today. Amen. Aren't you glad that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Hallelujah. That should make us want to jump up and shout this morning. Hallelujah, because that word whosoever is a very important word in that verse. It says, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jew, Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, are one in Christ Jesus, and all have opportunity to come to know Him as personal Savior. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. I mean, it's not just by the natural seed of Abraham, but how many know we are the seed of Abraham this morning? And heirs, the good news of that is you're not just the seed of Abraham, but you are heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. You have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We talked a little bit on Wednesday night on Bible study, but if you don't ever know, you've got an inheritance coming to you. You will never step into and activate and work out of the inheritance that you've been given. Amen? Unless somebody comes to notify you and says, hey, you've inherited something, if you don't ever get the notification and if you don't ever access what's been given to you, how many know it'll just sit there dormant? But if you know you've got an inheritance, if you know you have access to everything of the promises of God, hallelujah, then you can activate, you can walk in, you can seize the moment. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything that God has promised to you. I'm going to go to Galatians 3, I think, first this morning, Galatians 3, and starting there about verse 7. I got a lot of scriptures. I don't know that I'm going to get through all of them, and so we'll just see what happens. You all know how that goes, though, don't you? We start, we roll, we'll just see where we go. Last Sunday, we talked about Joshua and Caleb. Hallelujah. How many know God called out 12 spies, one out of every tribe, to go in and to spy out the land of Canaan? He said, I want you to go in and see if it be good or bad, strong or weak. If there be wood there, if there's strongholds, is it a fortified city? Go into the city, spy out the land, and what do you see? And so God called out 12 men, one from every tribe, and he sends the men to spy out the land. Hallelujah. How many know God promised Abraham a very long time ago that they would go in and possess this land, that this was their promised land? The land of Canaan was the land that was promised to them when it was promised to them and to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, God said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to take you out of this land of Ur of the Chaldees, and I'm going to take you into a good land, and it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to cause your inhabitants to possess that land. Your generations are going to possess that land, and they're going to walk into that land of promise. I mean, you know, when God gave that promise to Abraham, he didn't have any children. God, what kind of crazy talk are you talking when you say all my seed and my generations are going to inherit the land of promise and I'm without child? I have no inheritance. I have no generations. I have no children. Aren't you glad God's got a sense of humor? I laugh all the time. I say, God, you have got a sense of humor. I mean, sometimes you might as well just laugh because God just has his way of doing things. Amen. And so God makes a promise to Abraham. Did his circumstances make that promise void? His circumstances had nothing to do with the promise that God had spoken. Amen? And so our circumstances, our situations that we're in today have nothing to do with the promise that God is speaking to us. If God said it, hallelujah, if it is a promise of God, you can take that to the bank. Amen. You can believe the promise of God. The scripture says his promises are yes and amen. Yes, and let it be so. So be it. And so God gives a promise that this is their land. One of the things that they do, just to give a short synopsis of last week, one of the things they do is stop by Hebron. And in Hebron, there is the cave of Machpelah. And in the cave of Machpelah is buried Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Jacob, and Leah. Hallelujah. How many know those were Joshua and Caleb's descendants? That was their generation. That was their great mammies and their great grandmothers and great grandfathers back generations. Hallelujah. That God had spoken the promise to. How many know Caleb came to the cave and realized that I came out of the generations of Leah? I come from the tribe of Judah. I come out of that lineage. That is my inheritance. That is my genes right there. That is the promise of God to me, and I am that generation that God said would inherit the land of promise. How many know sometimes you got to stop by some landmarks, you got to remember some promises, you got to remind yourself of what God has promised you, and you remind yourself of the matriarchs and the patriarchs that have gone before you that have worked to get you to this place. How many are glad for a matriarch or a patriarch this morning? You can say, thank God that somebody shared the gospel with me. Thank God somebody went ahead of me. Thank God somebody dared to believe God. Thank God somebody dared to break some generational curses and dared to step outside of what they knew to bring me into a new land. How many know I am in a promised land today? I am in a land of rest today because somebody dared to break the cycle in our life of alcoholism and abuse and all of the things that were on both sides of our family. Somebody somewhere down the line was a matriarch or patriarch that dared to say, I'm going to believe God beyond circumstances. I'm going to believe God outside of what I see right now. Though I be without child, my descendants and my seed are going to inherit the land. And though it doesn't look like it right now, there's something big in store for me. Hallelujah. I got grandparents on both sides of my family. How many that know that they were alcoholics? They were bootleggers. They came from some rough background of stuff. But by the grace of God, we stand here today in a promised land. Hallelujah. Not walking in that bondage or that wilderness. Amen. Because somebody dared to believe God. How many know sometimes we got to make some stops by some graves of the patriarchs and the matriarchs and say, thank you. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for believing, daring to believe God for our generations to walk in a better day even than what they knew. Hallelujah. How many know that'll give you the strength to go into the promised land and say, you may see giants in this land, but I see victory. I see deliverance. I see a land that's been promised to me. I see an inheritance that is mine. Hallelujah. And when all the other spies came back and brought an evil report, except Joshua and Caleb, they said, let us go at once and possess this land, because this is our promised land. Hallelujah. How many know they were full of victory? Our perception so many times affects what we're able to walk in. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes your matter of perception, they come out and said, we saw giants. We saw a land that inhabitants, that eats up the inhabitants thereof. We saw, you know, we saw big obstacles in our path. Joshua and Caleb said, I saw fruit. I saw pomegranates. I saw figs. I saw a land that flows with milk and honey. I saw grapes that we had to carry on two poles out of the land. I saw my promise. I saw my inheritance there. Hallelujah. And they themselves proclaimed, we saw giants in the land, and we were in their eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in our own eyes. Hallelujah. If you allow the enemy to see you as a grasshopper, you'll see yourself that way. How many know sometimes you got to turn that around and say, the enemy is as a grasshopper to me. Hallelujah. He has no authority in my life. Hallelujah. How many know he has no power over you other than what you give him? He has no power over you other than what you give him. And so they came out with a great report, and the people rebelled, and they said, what did you just bring us out in here? Would to God we'd have just died in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here? They were ready to overthrow Moses. They were ready to raise up another leader and said, we're just ready to go back to Egypt. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Now here's the deal. They want to get another leader, and they want to go back to Egypt. Somewhere along the line, somebody forgot the map of how they got out of Egypt. You get me what I'm saying? They got out of Egypt because God did a miraculous thing and rolled back the Red Sea. And they crossed over on dry ground. The only way back into Egypt is back across the Red Sea. Who you think's going to open it up this time if you're retreating, if you're heading back the other direction? If you're going to go back, you're going to have to tread water or swim the Red Sea, because God only opened it to go forward. He never opened it to go backward. How many know the Red Sea holds a whole lot of Pharaoh's chariots at the bottom of it? His horsemen and his chariots are at the bottom of the Red Sea. The only way to go into the promised land is to keep on going forward. Hallelujah. How many know so many times we're wanting to go back to something that we once knew? I'm telling you, there is no back. There is only forward speed. There is only full speed ahead. Hallelujah. To walk into the promises of what God had for them. So they're ready to go back. They're ready to go back to Egypt. And Joshua and Caleb tried to steal the people and said, look, we can do this. God has given us the victory. God has promised us this land. But because of the unbelief of the people, how many know what happened? It started to catch on. And the scripture says, in the night you could hear women, children, men weeping, wailing, crying, said, it's all over. We're going to die in the wilderness. This is it. This is the big one. It's done. We're finished. Moses has led us out here in the wilderness to let us die. God's saying, just step out of the way, Moses. Let me just take care of this. You got all the people crying. They're wanting to go back to Egypt. You got God saying, let's just step out of the way, Moses. We're going to take care of this. I mean, Moses lifts up his voice and says, God, if you destroy them in Egypt, then Egypt is going to say he could bring them out, but he couldn't bring them in. And I believe God said to Moses, Moses, that's what I want to hear you say. Because my purpose has always been to take a people into a land of rest and into a land of promise. Hallelujah. How many know there has always been a mediator to stand between God and man to say, but, hallelujah. How many know Jesus became our mediator between God and man, that when the accuser of the brother comes to you and wants to accuse you of your sins or your unrighteousness, how many know Jesus stands in the midst of that and says, but, Yeah, they might be guilty as charged. Yeah, they might be struggling. Yeah, they might be having a hard time, but I've already paid the debt. I've already paid the price for their sin. There is no more sacrifice for sin. I've already paid for it. Yeah, they got some problems. Yeah, they're struggling. But I've already paid the bill. It's already been taken care of. Hallelujah. God said because of their unbelief, that whole generation died in the wilderness. Only those from 20 years under were able to go into the promised land. There was a whole generation of people that faded off the scene. I mean, it has been 40 years. He said it's going to take you 1 year for every day that you spied out the land to go into the land of promise. That's a long time. How many know when you're all set and ready to go and nobody's ready to go with you? That's frustrating. Amen? When nobody's ready to go with you, it's frustrating. How many know they wandered, the scripture says they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until God was ready to take them into the land. Galatians 3 and 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How many are the seed of Abraham here today? Not according to blood, not according to birth, but according to faith, according to the promise. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all these things which are written in the book of the law to them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by what? By faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us. This is good news this morning. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Go ahead and give me Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, what, from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, and on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They had an evil report. 10 lied, 10 died. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. How many know he's talking about entering into a promised land? He's talking about entering into a rest. How many know that rest comes in the person and the work of Jesus Christ? He is our promised land. He is our rest. He is our land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. He said there was a generation of people that did not enter in because of unbelief. That last scripture always gets me there because it says, let us labor. That don't sound like rest, does it? Labor and rest don't seem like they go together. Let us therefore labor. If you're going to work towards anything, work towards entering into the rest of God and enter into that rest, that place of peace and rest in God. Sister Terry already mentioned it this morning. How many know Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship? And there was a storm going on. And the disciples go back to him and they shake him and say, Lord, Master, don't you even care that we perish here? Do you not get the storm? Do you not feel the waves? Do you not know that there's a storm going on all around us? Hallelujah. And they're going to go back and wake him up. Anybody ever said that prayer? You don't have to raise your hand. Everybody cried out, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you know I'm in a storm? Don't you feel the waves? Haven't you seen the clouds? Lord, don't you care that we perished? Where are you at, Lord? And so they stir him up. Let me tell you, the number one thing you can do if you're struggling is stir him up. How many know sometimes you're going to wake up the man of God that's inside of you, and you got to stand up and say, he had to stand up out of that place. And when he stood up out of that place, he began to declare some things, and he said, peace, be still. Oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Hallelujah. What they didn't know is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. How many know you have the power to stand up out of the boat and declare peace to situations and storms in your life? Hallelujah. Because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to stand up out of the storm and begin to declare some things in the storm? You got to get up out of the place where you are. Hallelujah. But how many know Jesus dealt with everything from the posture of rest? He didn't let things stir him up. He didn't let things get him all worked up. Hallelujah. Because what happens when we do that, when we are moved by our circumstances or moved by our situations, how many know they begin to take over? Asaph says, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. See, you can decide what the confession of your mouth is. Is it because you can't complain and praise at the same time? You can't shout and praise at the same. I mean, you can shout and praise at the same time. You can't complain and shout at the same time. Amen. Either the confession out of your mouth is good or it's bad. Either it is life or it is death. Now, let me tell you, when you're struggling, I don't minimize that. When you're struggling, that sometimes it's hard to speak life to yourself. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, David would have to say in the Psalms, he'd have to talk to himself every now and then. And sometimes it'd do you good to talk to yourself. Yeah, look in the mirror and do it. Do it going down the road where nobody else can hear you. They just think you're singing with the radio. Just begin. He said, I complain. He said, why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you discomforted? Hope in the Lord. I know he would talk to his soul. He would talk to himself. Why are you upset today? Why are you cast down? How many know that word cast down is a sheep that gets on his back with his legs up in the air and he can't get himself back up? He's one big round ball. His feet are up in the air, and there he is. That's what cast down means, a cast down sheep. There you lay. Oh, don't raise your hand, but some of you all been there. I've been seeing your legs stick up in the air every now and then. I've seen myself in that position. Let me tell you, it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. I mean, you know, when we get in a cast down position, sometimes you can't get yourself up in your own strength. But he said, I remembered my song in the night. How many know sometimes you got to remember the days of old? Sometimes you got to bring to memory some the faithfulness of God's. Or sometimes you got to find somebody else that can start a little bit of precious Jesus chant with you. And all of a sudden the atmosphere starts to change. And all of a sudden your circumstances may change, but your perception to those circumstances begin to change. And all of a sudden your hope comes back. All of a sudden your faith comes back. All of a sudden, your strength comes back. All of a sudden, your courage starts to come back. And then all of a sudden, your kick comes back. Hallelujah. And you kick yourself over and you jump back up on your feet. Hallelujah. Because your hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so sometimes it's a matter of perception. And sometimes it's a matter of how we begin to declare some things to the storms. We got to quit letting the storms do the talking. We got to quit letting the storms dictate to us how we feel. We got to stand up sometimes out of that place and start speaking to the storms. Hallelujah. I said all that to tell you the title of my message this morning is Pack Your Bags. And we're going to Joshua chapter 1. Pack your bags. Hallelujah. the scripture in Deuteronomy talks about Moses laying hands on Joshua. And it said Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. He was full of the spirit of wisdom and by the laying on of hands of Moses. Hallelujah. How many know the scripture said, in comparison to Moses, there is not one greater than Moses of all the prophets. How many know Moses knew God? The children of Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. Hallelujah. But how many know even Moses could not bring the children of Israel into the land of promise by the law, by the commandments of the law? And as a mediator of an old covenant, he did not walk into the promised land, but God allowed him to stand on the Mount Pisgah, I believe it was, and view the promised land. Hallelujah. But he had him lay hands on a man named Joshua and anoint him and send him in. I mean, Joshua had worked as an apprentice, had lived with Moses from the very beginning, from the time in Egypt. He was his shadow. He knew his ways. He learned his ways. He heard the voice of God. He stood at the bottom of the mountain when God gave the commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. And one of the reasons he wasn't involved in all the golden calf and all of the incidents that happened there is, how many know he was at the foot of the mountain finding out what God was saying to the man in charge? Hallelujah. I mean, know sometimes it's good to just heed the man in charge. Find out what God's saying. All of us need mentors at times. All of us need somebody to impart. I mean, know Paul imparted to Timothy. Elijah imparted to Elisha. There was a mantle passing. There's some training that has to take place. There is some learning. How many are glad for people that you've been able to learn from and glean from and hang out with them and find out their ways? You know, if nothing else, I mean, I can make homemade bread. And the reason I can do that is I hung out with my mom when she made homemade bread. And you don't know? We'll fix that, Terry. We'll fix that. How many know I can do some of those things because I hung out with somebody who knew how to do that? I can can vegetables because I helped my mom can vegetables when we were growing up. And we lived on green beans. We talked last night about living on gravy bread and green beans. I have eaten my share of gravy bread and green beans. You made gravy because when the homemade bread got dry, you needed something to sop it back up with, didn't you, Brother Terry? And so, but I learned how to can. If I had a garden, which I don't have a garden now, but I know how to can. But I hung out with somebody who knew how to do those things. You know, the things that we do, the things that we learn, how many know we have to allow ourselves to be taught? You have to be a good student. Sometimes you have to allow yourself to be tutored and taught. How many know Joshua spent a whole lot of time with Moses? But guess what? Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. In the first book of Joshua, go ahead and bring me up Joshua. She's got it. She's right ahead of me. Is this in the Message Bible? You know. Okay, that's what I want. This is in the Message Bible. Here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Cross this Jordan River. You and all the people, cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. How many know that is a, can I just say, a little bit stressful place to be standing in? How many know Moses was a great man? Moses was a great mediator. He stood in the very presence of God. He interceded for the people. He established the tabernacle. He did some incredible things. But how many know the generation of Moses had come to an end? And God is about ready to take the children of Israel into the land of promise. And he's raising up a man named Joshua. And he's telling him, he said, get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. Now, we already know they crossed the Red Sea, so crossing the Jordan must be possible or in the realm of possibilities. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon east to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the Great Sea, it's all yours. And your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Can you raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. You don't give up on us. You don't leave us. And the same way you were with Moses and Joshua, the same way you are with us. I won't leave you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Next verse. And your life, strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you. Every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you second time? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step of the way. Some of you all might want to put that on your refrigerator. Write it in a note in your lunchbox that says, haven't I commanded you strength, courage? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Yeah. Now, the word says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I claim that. That's mine. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Then Joshua gave orders to the people's leaders. Go through the camp and give this order to the people. Say it with me. Pack your bags. In 3 days, you will cross this Jordan River to enter and take the land God your God is giving you to possess. Then Joshua addressed the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said, remember what Moses, the servant of God, commanded you. God, your God, gives you rest, and he gives you this land. Your wives and your children, your livestock, and stay here east of the Jordan, the country Moses gave you. But you tough soldiers all must cross the river in battle formation, leading your brothers, helping them. Until God, your God, gives your brothers a place of rest, just as he has done for you. They also will take possession of the land that God, your God, is giving them. Then you will be free to return to your possession given to you by Moses, the servant of God, across the Jordan to the east. They answered Joshua, everything you commanded us, we'll do. Wherever you send us, we'll go. We obeyed Moses to the letter. We'll also obey you. We just pray that God, your God, will be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who questions what you say and refuses to obey whatever you command, he will be put to death. Strength, courage. 3 times he tells him, strength, courage, or be strong and very courageous. But in verse 11, can you put me back up verse 11 again? Go through the camp and give this order to the people. Pack your bags. In 3 days you will cross this Jordan River to enter and take the land God your God is giving you to possess. How many know in view of the fact of 3 days, we can go in and possess the land that has been promised to us? Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what brings us into our Canaan land, into our promised land, into a land of rest. But what he had to tell the people was pack your bags. In other words, get ready. Get ready to cross over into a promised land. Get ready to cross into something new. Get ready to step out of a wilderness that you've been dwelling in. Get ready to leave the scorpions and the serpents behind. Get ready to leave everything behind that happened in the wilderness. Leave everything behind that's happening now. Leave the rebellion. Leave the unbelief back there. But pack your bags and get ready to transition into a new day, a new time, a new hour. How many know he's saying to them, guys, this is your day. This is your moment. Pack your bags. Make up your mind that in 3 days, we're going to go in and possess everything that God promised us to possess. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to stand up, pack your bags, get a little bit of strength and courage, and go in and possess everything that God promised you that you could have. Sometimes I think we tarry way too long, waiting on God to do something that he's already done, waiting on us to just step into it and possess what is already ours. Hallelujah. I mean, no, God, Joshua had to remind them of strength and courage. He had to speak to them. He had to challenge them. Pack your bags. Get ready to go in and possess the land. Hallelujah. Get in a mind or a mind frame. Get in the mind or the concept or the thought pattern that says we're moving on. Hallelujah. Anybody ready to move on in your life? Step out of some things, some areas maybe that you've been in, and step into what that dimension of what God has prepared for you, what His inheritance is for you, and the rest that He's promised to you. If we're living in doubt and unbelief and unrest, how many know it's because we're not fully walking into everything that He's already promised, everything that is available to us? Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes our packing our bags is a metaphor. You know, I'm not telling you to move out of where you are. I'm just telling you in your mindset and in your thinking and where you are now, maybe there's some things you just want to leave behind. I mean, sometimes we got to leave some things behind. Sometimes we got to shake some things off. Sometimes we got to unpack the baggage before we can pack your bags. Amen. How many know sometimes there's just some things that you say, you know what, I'm done here. I'm done with that. I need God to take me to the next level. I need Him to take me to a place in Him where I can learn something new, where I can experience something greater than what I've experienced. Because where I am right now is only a temporary place. I can't help but think Joshua and Caleb are not just standing there saying, it is our time, it is our season. I have waited 40 years for this. And today's the day. So pack your bags, because in 3 days, if I'm Joshua and Caleb, I'm going to say, because in 3 days, I'm going in. Who is on the Lord's side? Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, sometimes you got to stand up and make a declaration and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going in. We're packing our bags. We're moving out of the wilderness. And we're going into everything that God has promised for us to possess, a land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. How many know God had to call Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees? Their descendants were from the Tower of Babel. I mean, sometimes you got to get out of confusion. Sometimes you got the idea of the Tower of Babel was to build a tower to God so that they could reach God. How many know it was never intended for man to try to reach God? God wanted to just come to be with man. His intention was that He could dwell amongst us, that He could have fellowship with us. Here we all this time we spend all of our life trying to get to God when God's trying to get to us. Hallelujah. He called him out of that land. He gave him a promise when the promise didn't even look like it was feasible. Well, I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the seas and the star of the heaven. But I don't have any children. And my wife is barren. And old. Barren and old. And you say, seeds as the stars, your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of the sea. Lord, you and I, we need to talk. You ever had to have a long heart-to-heart talk with God? Because sometimes He forgets things, you think. Sometimes, you know, Lord, you may just not know all the circumstances, but, you know, when you give me these promises, they sound really good and everything, but, Lord, how many know it's not on our strength of what we can produce? It was never on the strength of Sarah's womb or the loins of Abraham that was going to produce the seed of promise. It was by divine encounter with the presence of the Holy Ghost that does something supernatural above and beyond what you know or can see or fathom. Don't you just love it when God just hits the ball out of the park and you're just so caught off guard, you say, God, I didn't even see that one coming. Hallelujah. I had no idea how you were going to work that out, but I thank you, God, that you've done. I thank you because when you do it your way, you do things so well. Yes. Hallelujah. And sometimes if I just let Him do it and step aside out of the way, He could do it so much faster without all my help. Hallelujah. You do all things well. I'm here to tell you today to pack your bags. It doesn't matter if it looks like you got the strength in your loins or not to produce the promise, but I'm just going to tell you, if you'll just allow yourself a moment of intimacy, and if you allow yourself a moment of time and space where you let God do something miraculous inside you, when you let God do above and beyond what you can think or fathom or know, and say, God, I'm just going to let you do what you say you're going to do. Hallelujah. I mean, God will step into the picture and so surpass anything that you could have ever thought of. How many know Ruth was a Moabitess who was in the land of Moab? Her husband was dead. Her father-in-law was dead. Everything that looked around her looked like it was dead. And Naomi decided she would go back to the land of Bethlehem. So she said, I don't have nothing left here, so I'm going to pack my bags and I'm going to go with you. Naomi said, don't go with me. I am in bitterness of soul. I have nothing left in my womb to give. I have nothing left to offer you. And they wept and they cried, and Orpah went back. But Ruth said, whither thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. How many know she made a declaration? She said, I'm going to Bethlehem. I don't know what's in Bethlehem, but it's got to be better than what I've known in Moab. I'm packing my bags. I'm changing direction. I'm changing my location, because God's got something in mind for a little Moabitess girl. If I'll just follow the house of bread, if I'll walk through the door that's been opened for me, God's got something big in store for me. I mean, no, Naomi had nothing to offer to Ruth, but Ruth dared to trust God beyond even the voice of Naomi to say, stay in Moab. The voice of God will never tell you to stay in Moab. It'll always tell you to come to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. It'll always tell you to come to Bethlehem. I mean, when she came into Bethlehem, she changed her address. She changed where she was living. She changed some things that was happening in her. And it wasn't necessary. I'm not talking about your literal destination. I'm talking about changing mindsets that said, there's got to be something more in store for me. And how many know why Ruth is out in the field doing everything she knows to do, working, gleaning in the fields? All of a sudden she finds out. She doesn't find out. Actually, there's a man who finds out that she's in the field and she's pretty fine to look at. And he says, who is that girl who is gleaning in my field? They say, well, that's Ruth. That's the Moabitess that came up with Naomi. He said, could you tell her I'd like to have a lunch date with her? Could you give her my calling card? Because I'd like to sit down at my table with her. And the scripture says, and he shares out of his bucket with her. And he shares off of his table with her. And all of a sudden, she comes together with a near kinsman redeemer who falls head over heels in love with her. And while she's not even looking, he falls in love with her and decides he wants to marry her, and all she's got to do is come and lay at his feet and receive everything that he has, because there's an inheritance coming to her that she didn't even know about. I mean, sometimes it'll do you good to pack your bags and change your location, to change your mindset. What I'm saying about packing your bags is get ready to move out of where you are right now. You may be sitting here today saying, spiritually, I need God to move me into what I need to step into. You may need him to move you into something financially. You may need him to move you into something physically. You may be having trouble in relationships and you need God to move in the midst of that. You may need God to do something supernatural in your midst. Are you ready to pack your bags and leave behind what's been going on and just dare to step out and believe God and say, God, I'm going to move into something by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, I'm going to move into something greater than what I know right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To move into another dimension, you got to have some strength. You got to have some courage. Sometimes you just got to stand up and put one foot in front of the other and say, I'm moving on into what God has promised to me. Hallelujah. How many know they didn't just go into the Canaan and unpack their bags and move into houses? How many know there were some things that they had to pursue? There were some things they had to overthrow, overtake. There were some things that God had prepared for them. But not even by their own strength or their own might did they have to do it. God had already made provision ahead of them. That even by the time they go into the land of Jericho, the people's profession said, we've been waiting on you all, and we've been afraid because we know God has given you this land. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got to pack your bags sometimes and move into something greater than where you are. Their hearts had melted in preparation 40 years before because they had heard. They said, we've heard of your gods. We know about your God. We know God has given this land into your hands. Hallelujah. We've heard about sometimes they were more convinced than the children of Israel were about the God. We heard about how God delivered you across the Red Sea. We know how God provided water from the rock. We know how there was a pillar of in the cloud. We know how God did all of the things that he did. We've heard the stories. Hallelujah. We know God is able to bring us into that land. Hallelujah. Are you ready to step into something greater today? Are you ready to move beyond where you are in your life? Lord, I'm ready for a change. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ready for a change? Hallelujah. I felt that for you this morning, Jim, while you were singing, even before you sang, that you were one of the people that God was talking to pack your bags. There's change getting ready to happen. You're getting ready to step out of what you knew that was comfortable, but he's going to take you into the land that flows with milk and honey. And I believe that for you this morning, and I just declare that pack your bags. God wants to move you on into something greater. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God wants to move you on into something greater. Pack your bags in preparation for God, what God wants to do in your midst. Hallelujah. Sister Jenny, pack your bags this morning. God wants to do a work in your family and in your life. And I just declare today a new day, a new direction. I declare the wilderness is past, and I declare that the milk and honey flows, that the promise of God are yes and amen to you and Ike. And I declare today a new day and a day of prosperity and a day of the miraculous hand of God to move above and beyond your perception of what you perceive and see by looking around you. God has something bigger in the picture than even what you know this morning. Hallelujah. Pack your bags. Glory to his name, Jesus. Lift your hands this morning. Just bless him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're in this house this morning and you're ready for change, you just want to make the declaration, say, Lord, I'm packing my bags. I'm moving on from this place where I'm in. I'm moving on to something greater in you. Hallelujah. Just stand to your feet for a moment. Let's just declare today that we're moving on out of this place that we're in now, stepping into a greater, higher, even a higher place in God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands this morning. Declare it for your kids. Declare it for your family. Declare it for your households. Declare it for yourself. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, rather in the realm of the natural, in the realm of the spirit, hallelujah. We just declare it in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Lord, we make a declaration in this house that we will not remain in a wilderness place any longer. Father, that we are going to step into something new. Father, that you have something greater, something bigger, something purposed in us this morning. Lord, we receive from you today, hallelujah. We receive from you today purpose, direction, clear vision, Father, in Jesus' name. We shake off every stronghold. We shake off disbelief and unbelief. Lord, we shake off fear. We take strength and courage today, God, in what you're doing and what we're facing, Father. We are seeing ourselves as victors, Father. We are seeing ourselves as victors and not as grasshoppers, God. Lord, that you have made us a mighty nation, Lord, a strong man. God, we give you glory and praise, Father, in this house this morning. We make a declaration in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You guys have already packed your bags in a sense and made some transition, but it's only just begun for God to begin to open up new and greater revelation in your life, greater even in your relationship and your relationship in God, the connection where God's going to start making the pieces come together and the ends come together. Those things that seem like they're kind of flying around right now that you've not been able to just kind of pull in, I believe God's going to start just connecting the dots for you, and you're going to begin to see the manifestation in your own life, and even those around around you are going to start to hear the confession of your mouth, of the understanding, and God's going to begin to draw people, not in a fearful way, but begin to draw people by just the confession of your mouth that starts to come in as God begins to draw them in. And I just declare even greatness in your family in Jesus' name, Lord. We just declare the word of the God and the promises of God over this household, over this family, these children and generations, Lord, to the grandchildren. Father, the purpose and calling of God, we call forth purpose and calling and anointing of God in this house, Father, in Jesus' name. And we declare it, Father, a new day and a new destination. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to speak strength to you guys, Terry and Joe. I just want to lift your hands today. And I just want to speak strength to your body, mind, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. And I want to remind that you've been a faithful servant. I want to remind you that you've been a faithful servant in the house of God. And what you've sowed or what you thought may have been caused task by the wayside, or that people have not really seen the heart of what you wanted to say, that you're going to come to understanding and realize that you've imparted more than what you realize, and begin to see the fruit of what you've sown begin to come to pass. For those things that seem like they have laid dormant for a while, and those things that seem like they have been a struggle in your life, I just declare with you today, right here and right now, God, we just declare an ease of the spirit. I declare a rest. I declare a rest in mind. I declare a rest in the spirit, that it's not to be a struggle, that it's not to be a hard thing, but God is just bringing, I just feel like cold water. I just feel like fresh, like an artesian well. I just feel like the anointing and power of God in a fresh and new way to take you in a realm you've not experienced, and to bring you to a place where it's not that hard knot, or that it feels like it's everything by your own strength, that God's going to do something supernatural that's not even something in the realm of your possibility of saying, God, I don't see it. I don't know how it can happen. I don't see how this could come to pass, and I'm wearied over trying to figure it out. But I just declare with you today, right now, in this house, that God's just going to bring a sense of peace and rest, and the anointing of the Lord is going to do a work that is above and beyond anything that you could have seen coming in your own strength, but it'll be by the hand of God, and you'll know it because you'll feel the peace of God coming as you make even decisions in the next little while. Feel like the peace of God will come as you'll know that it's God giving me rest in the land of Canaan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a faithful man and woman in the house of God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Turn around, hug somebody, and tell them, pack their bags. Hallelujah. We're moving on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.